You're listening to episode 90 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, The Battle of Three Conferences.
That was Monday.
Anything else happened Monday that we should know about?
I don't know. Do you want? Okay.
So yeah. So E3 happened also this week.
Yeah.
In case you missed it, I caught a little bit of the news, a little bit. So you can flesh in a little bit more of what happened. But one of the things I know. Go ahead.
Yeah. So weirdly enough, I actually paid most attention to E3 just because it tended to pop up the most in my all of my news feeds and stuff. But I also am like most disconnected with it because I don't play enough video games to really get into it. Although I am once again intrigued by Infamous. I'm kind of that game looks fun, but. The games, I don't know. I just don't play enough video games.
Fair enough. So, there were a bunch of announcements made. Xbox, Sony, Nintendo didn't really do anything, as far as I knew. But
what? Hardware. Oh my gosh. You missed the giant game lineup then.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, dude. Okay, so...
Alright, so what's Nintendo got going on?
I'm gonna excite you. Okay, so first off, Super Smash Bros. 4 is coming out. Okay.
Nice.
So did you hear about that?
No.
And what's awesome is they're doing Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U and the 3DS. So they have like it's the same game but with two different platforms, same cast of characters. So it doesn't matter which platform you're on, you can play it. But here's the thing. New characters that are included. One of them is the villagers from what's that game called?
I don't know.
Harvest Moon, I believe it is. But it's this ridiculous character where it's just like they're just throwing in. It's awesome how sometimes they just throw out the craziest characters. So they threw in a villager. Like, so when one of your RPGs, just one of the random villagers that, like, he's going to be in it, which is awesome. Mega Man.
Nice. Oh, Mega Man.
Yeah. And what's really cool is it's like the old school Nintendo Mega Man. Like, he looks all like that. He's not 16-bit-y, but he moves like the 16-bit Mega Man.
Whoa,
like, all
that's
over
cool.
The place. It's really
Power
cool.
Up Blast?
It's really unique.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. And he can, you know, like, he can absorb other, like, characters, not other characters, but he can do, like, you know, like the classic Mega Man is he's got all the different shots that he can do.
Oh, yeah, you can take their powers or borrow them, or similar to Kirby type of thing?
Well, it's not like Kirby. He's got his own suite of attacks from other robots. And they haven't clarified how you call those up, but you can, he'll be able to do many different attacks, which is awesome. And as a huge Mega Man fan, I'm super stoked. And then one of the other ones that they threw in there is like, everybody's been requesting just a ton of different characters, right? I mean, that's like what people do for fun
that's the game.
Request theirs. Yeah. Specific character that they want to play with, and Nintendo sometimes likes to throw in a character or two who's only there because nobody in their right mind would request them. So one of the characters is the female trainer for Wii Fit.
What? That's so
yeah,
dumb.
I know.
What? Yeah, just like, that's so stupid.
What are you guys doing?
Because that's what everybody wants.
I know, and I was reading forums, and people were like, well, she is really physically fit. I mean, it kind of makes sense, right?
No, it doesn't.
If you're going to get somebody who can fight, why not this? I know, it doesn't make any sense at all. It's awesome.
Just give me a me instead. Unbelievable, wow.
I know, geez. But it's just such a classic Nintendo move. It's awesome. I think it's funny. I think it's hilarious. And what's going to be awesome about it is it's going to be one of those characters where everyone's like, this is such a stupid character. And somebody's going to go, I'll bet she's pretty good. And somebody's going to get great with her. And in like 2 years, you're going to realize that the best players in the world, like she's one of the top two player characters for the best players in the world. Because that's what they did with Ness. Everybody was like, Ness is not that good. What is with Ness? And how he's like the number one played character for Melee, you know, and it's just like, or for Brawl, I mean. And you're like, okay, that's awesome. So yeah, everybody was super stoked about that, but they also announced new Zeldas and new Marios and went through all their franchise, new Mario Kart. They relaunched all their franchise stuff, and they were like, you know, and turns out you can use used games on their system, which is pretty exciting, evidently. Nice. It's something that needs to be mentioned on the side. Because X-Bone is they're not doing it right. Do you want to talk about
Xbox clarified some of their stuff, where they, you know, their whole used game thing is they're, we'll see if they stick with it. They've been known to stick with things where you're like, wow, that's incredible. Where I don't even remember the full restrictions, to be honest, but it's like if someone buys a used game, they might have to pay another fee in order to actually access it, because it requires always on internet, and you gotta authenticate the game. And
yeah, the game is registered to your system, so if somebody else uses it, it was like a, you can only move it to one of their systems, so you can't lend games out, which is really frustrating. And there's like a fee that'll go with it, so that you have to pay a fee on top of the used game. And so it's just, there'll be like used game resellers, they think, they were talking about, and the idea that this is X-Bone, not PS4, but so there'll be like that you wouldn't get charged that fee in order to, you know, convince you to go to, you know, let's say Gamefly, and all of a sudden GameStop, all of a sudden GameStop has to negotiate with Microsoft to be one of those, you know, vendors, and they're going to have to pay a fee and blah, 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 blah. And so it's just a, it's a scheme to kind of kill the used game market. And I think they thought it was going to be possible because they were looking at, you know, what's going on with Steam, where there is no used game market with Steam. But what they failed to understand was that Steam's ridiculous in that their games are stupid cheap. And one of the big reasons why people have Xboxes and PlayStations is for that mobility of gaming, and that, and these dedicated systems, that it's different than the PC superior race of video game players. You know, it's one of the, you know, half the point is that 15-year-olds can, like, each one buy, you know, they got four friends that each buy one game and they swap them around. And I don't know. And so the PS4 there, Sony, had that awesome, like, commercial where they're like, how to play used game, right? Like, how to trade used games to PS4. And it just showed a video of the one dude handing the game to the other dude. And the guy going, thanks. And it was the end of the video. It was great.
That's hilarious.
You know, and it's just like, yeah.
That's so awesome. Take that. We hate you. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so that was their first one that they did. They were like, hey, you know, use games free, just like they used to always be. We're not trying to hurt you.
Because you own your own content.
And then, and I thought this was actually really interesting before we move on to the other huge thing that Sony did, which is why everyone thinks they won E3. But before we get to that, they, some authors, writers, reached out to other game developers to kind of ask them about, you know, their thoughts on the used game industry. And two in particular, who I'm going to destroy their names, it's Blazinski and Miyamoto. We know who he is. I don't know who the other guy is, but he was just like, he was like, you cannot have game and marketing budgets as high as they are while also having used and rental games exist. It's like, just the numbers don't work. He's like, get over it. And he's like, the visual fidelity and feature sets that we expect from games, they come with, you know, sky-high costs. And, you know, they're made by thousands of developers. And so he's like, it's not a sustainable industry anymore. So I'm guessing he's a Microsoft dude. So we've got to, you know, we've got to address it, and we've got to kill this used game market, otherwise it's not sustainable. And then CVG did an interview with Miyamoto, And his was like, I like it. He goes, we're more worried about piracy, and we think used games are a whole other story. In fact, from our perspective, you want to create a game that people will want to keep and keep playing for a long time. That's the approach that we always take, and that's the best way to avoid used games.
Oh man. I love it. I love it. Yeah, we want the games that you're excited to keep.
How about we just make good games that people want to continue to play and own, and we won't worry about the used game market, which I'm like, fair enough. They also don't have I think they do a better job of controlling their budget spend. And
So Blazinski is he's the game developer for franchises like Unreal and Gears of War. So he's a game developer, and he's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And
which clearly tells me where I'm at, in my understanding.
Yeah.
Guy. Whatever. And, he knows who he is.
He's got a name I can't really pronounce.
Turns out he's a big deal.
Yeah, so, and the whole point of that, I guess, is, it's funny, I mean, there's a valid point to it, and it's the reason, what's interesting, though, and I think where he gets it wrong, is that his opinion is that people demand these ridiculous games. Well, obviously, that's not what they're demanding. What they're demanding is what they're willing to pay for. And Steam, you know, Valve is proving with Steam this idea that, you know, we are willing to go without being able to share games. We're willing to put up with no piracy if the cost of the game is low enough, because the average game amount that people pay on games in Steam is ridiculously low, because it's you know, why would you wait till a sale, and it's like, you know, I think I spent like $100 on Steam, like, for all of my games, and I have like 1,000 hours worth of games, you know, and you sit there and you go, and really high quality games too, not like bad cheap ones. Like, you know, I spent like $20 on that one Skyrim, which was like was like a game of the year a couple years back. You know, you sit there and you go, the reality of it is the demand that people have is what they're willing to pay for it.
Right.
What you want to be able to do is to produce these stunning graphic games with incredibly high-powered technologies. And, you can't do what you want to do, because that's not what people are willing to pay for. So I can understand why he's upset by that. But you sit there and you go, like, you just have to understand that you need a smaller budget. You can't spend as much on games, and or get better. If your argument is, because people will spend $60 on the best game, that's what they will do. So if your argument is that you can't do as good a job as Bungie on making the best game with the best graphics for the same price that they're able to make money on, well, then that's a whole different problem. that's not you know, people pay the money and then, you know, which, and I like Miyamoto's, at least he, you know, differentiated the idea, the difference between piracy and used games, where used games, because it gives, I don't know, I totally buy into this, the problem of the idea of, you know, intellectual property as a service. It's like, classically, it's the thing that worries me most about iTunes Match, is that it's turned IP that I own. You know, I own a license to have these songs and use them as many as I want, as using them as often as I want for non-commercial purposes by buying them through iTunes. And by using iTunes Match, it's essentially become a subscription thing. If they shut it down, I'd have to re-download them all. That's the only nice part, is that I can. But it's like, if they just shut it, if they flip the switch one day or cancel my account, I'm out of luck. And a lot of people have been, you know, making that comment. It's like, you know, there's a real concern of like, what if they decide that they don't like what you're doing with your system? Can they shut your system down? Can they pull supportive games? Like, where is the line? And Microsoft hasn't done a very good job of
defining that. Yeah.
Right.
Well, if anything, they make you like, no, we might pull it.
Right. Well, and I think that's the reality of it, is they might pull it. Somebody wrote a really interesting article, actually, right after the original announcement, but it seems more appropriate now. But the idea of comparing the Xbox One, a.k.a. the Xbone, to Windows 8, and the idea that Windows 8 wasn't a terrible idea in principle of we want to make a kind of a bridge operating system that works as well on mobile as it does on a desktop,
right?
Kind of be all things all people, and
no compromises.
And the reality of it was right. And the reality of it was that Windows 7, in a large way, especially if you downloaded a specific set of features, would work on tablets. I mean, it just didn't work as well. You could get touch interface stuff, and you could get full screen apps. I mean, you could do with Windows 7 a lot of it. So their argument was, you know, it's really not that big of a departure. It's not that big of a deal. We're just making it the center stage, and it still works pretty well, and everybody hates it. And the thing is, and the big question that everybody's having is, you know, is the X-Bone really like this new kind of a crazy adventure into crazy town? I don't know. I think that they're really setting themselves up for trouble. And what's funny is, you know, we have often made the observation about the video game industry that there's really only space for two. And over the course of the industry, you'll see that, like, as you look at the graphs and you look at the numbers, you'll only see two really selling well at the same time. There's always one in decline as the other two are skyrocketing. Sure. And early on in this last generation with the 360 came out like way before the other two, like a year before the other two. So it started taking off really early. And so the big horse race was who's going to be able to take, you know, step into the number two spot was the Wii versus the PS3. And PS3, Sony just had a spectacular fumble out the gate with a couple of really buggy games and just a couple of so super overpriced. The Wii really impressed everybody, so the Wii skyrocketed. And you saw, you know, like way past the growth rate of Xbox.
Yeah.
It started to taper off as, you know, as they basically saturated the market. They sold them to as many people as they were going to sell them to, which was their entirety of their problem. They ran out of people to sell Wii's to, whereas the Xbox just had a much longer growth cycle.
Yep.
And so the Xbox kept getting better and better and better, and eventually, as kind of everybody satiated their need for Wii's, all of a sudden the PlayStation, Sony had really rebuilt the foundation, and they kind of started to take off. And the thing is here, and that's when you started to see the Wii sales really crash, that the PlayStation sales started to come up. And I think what you're going to see here is, I think you're going to see a repeat of that, except instead of PlayStation and being the one that fumbles out the door, I think it's going to be Xbox.
I think,
obviously it's going to survive and they're going to sell devices, but I think you're going to really see, as absurd as it sounds at this point, I think you're going to see Wii U sales go up. You're going to see PlayStation sales go up. You're going to see Xbox just kind of stumble out the gate, which is really exciting.
Not
what I would have bet.
I agree with you that Sony's going to sell a ton of units, and they look really appealing, and they made a lot of really smart choices here. I don't see Nintendo growing huge.
You don't? Okay. You see, the thing is that I'm gonna go up to bat for Nintendo. I don't think the Wii U will do as well as the Wii did by any means.
Totally.
But
totally agree.
The major mantra that's just been everybody's been thumping on the game forums and different websites and Reddit and stuff has been, look, y'all overlooked Wii U too fast. It's a really cool system. It's a really unique system. It's got some good games, and all the big franchise games are coming out, and honestly, like, I don't play my Wii anymore, and I'm like, oh, dude, I gotta get my Wii U so I can play some Super Smash Bros. And, like, you know, this is so stupid. Hopefully I will resist that even more than I resist buying a Mac. But that's, like, that's where it's at right now. It's just a, you know, I really do have this feeling, you know, and I'll go with it, it's just a feeling. But I think you're going to see like the 3DS, which really had a super slow start to the point where everybody is freaking out about it, and now it's selling great. And it just took a long time for it to kind of get its feet.
I think the game's going behind it or something.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you're going to see the same thing happen with Wii U.
Okay.
And the overall message is it's not going to be as meteoric as the Wii was, but I think the overall message that's really started to to disseminate itself into the gaming community is it's a pretty decent system and it's worth your time, and they've got some great games coming out that will move the system. So
interesting. So it's funny, I'm not going to buy one right now, but I do think, like, okay, if I were to get one, let's just say I decided to buy a television and you know, get a gaming thing, besides the fact that I'd resurrect my Wii and play that for a bunch before I get tired of that, my thought was, like, I think I'd still get an Xbox, and the reason and this is a bad reason, so I might go with the PlayStation, is two things. Number one, the Kinect, I think, would be interesting for, not necessarily me, but for my wife.
The NSA spying tool?
Yeah, that one.
That's always on?
That one.
Okay,
that one.
Cool.
Yeah, that's the one. I think my wife would like that, because that's what she liked about the Wii, was the whole wireless controllers and stuff. And then I've, and this is what Microsoft is kind of banking on, I already have a bunch of friends on Xbox Live, and so I can instantly connect with them, and Sony doesn't quite have that level of,
participation.
Socialness. Though I do have a bunch of friends who do have PlayStation, so I guess they'd, you know, they would have it, but I don't know. If I ever got there, I'd probably have to play them both and see what they're like. But there's something about something about Microsoft that feels like a platform. I like that. I like that it's got the Blu-ray part now. Their price is unbelievable. Which is the other thing that Sony did, which was brilliant. They undercut Microsoft by $100, which is exactly what happened to them on the flip side. They learned their lesson. And it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Like you said, Microsoft came out with the Xbox 360 on an off cycle. And so they had a ton of advantages there. And I don't know what happened. I think they got cocky, or they just weren't paying attention. But it's like they came out on cycle. And they came out they showed all their cards first. Nintendo showed their cards first, but, you know, they're playing their own game, let's be honest.
Right. They're in their own little universe.
Microsoft decided to show their cards first to Sony, and I didn't think they thought that Sony would be as close as they were, and Sony just, you know, they tweaked the presentation and the way that they messaged it and went, yeah, about that.
Yeah, it was so funny because it was like they clearly, Microsoft wanted to get the bad news out of the way, and I think it was
they were hoping that Sony would climb on board, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was one of those. Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's almost as though Microsoft was trying to, like, send a message, except it was so late in the. It was like that's the sort of thing that you'd have to.
They should have just planted the seed. Yeah, we're thinking about the used game market and maybe, but in my opinion, they get away from the physical discs, make it 100% download, problem solved.
Right, and that's, everybody loathed Apple for doing that with the original Air, and now it's, like, not even a thing. it's couldn't be less of
they could have, in my opinion, they could still have the discs, especially the Blu-ray player, that's got value. But they should have required of developers, not only will you make a CD copy or a disc copy, you will make a download and it will be 10% cheaper than the
right.
disc. Or,
something
you know, some
like
number
that.
Where it's like, duh, we're all going to download it.
Yeah.
But the understanding being you can't give it away. And you know what? If someone's willing to buy the disc, price it in such a way where it covers your manufacturing costs and it covers whatever that extra percentage was you were going to charge for a share.
Yeah, that's right. And then
message it that way. And now people look at the download and go, oh, sweet, discount, digital copy, love it. And if you don't want that, fine, buy the physical one and blame it on manufacturing costs. Oh, we're not making as many, so it costs more to make them, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? They could have messaged it in such a way where it wouldn't have raised any red flags and it would have actually been seen as a feature.
Yeah. One of my favorite moments, though, of all of E3 was actually on Reddit. And one of the top videos, it's one of the top videos for this week, was the dude who was, like, in charge. He had earlier in the week, they were interviewing him. He was talking about, they were like, what about somebody who doesn't have any connection to the internet, because you have to, it's not an always on, but you have to like connect to the internet once every 24
hours.
Yeah, wasn't
there like a soldier in Iraq or something who made a comment about that?
Yeah, and the guy said, well, we already have a system for that, for people out there who want that, and that's the 360. And it was just like a real, like, it was just such a, you know, a lot of the game industry took that very poorly. If you notice, like, one of the big things people talked about was, like, the PS4 is launching in every region in the world, including your third world countries, because it doesn't need internet, whereas the Xbox is only launching in first world countries. Which it's like, I don't know if I'm like personally offended by that as somebody who lives in America.
I'm so glad that now Siri can change the brightness on my phone by me just talking to it.
I know.
That's such a feature I'm really gonna enjoy for when I get woken up at 2 a.m. from my friends calling me.
Hey man, it happens. It's a big problem in my life.
I sounds like
but,
it.
I know.
Wait a couple years, so, the problem will go away.
I know. Bummer. It's one of those things where I look at it and I go, I don't really get it. Doesn't bother me so much because it's like it doesn't affect me personally. Yeah. But and even if I got an Xbox, it wouldn't affect me personally, so I don't really care.
As long as the servers don't go down, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. But what I do notice is that we totally got off topic here.
Online all the time. Sony's not. You talked about a video on Reddit or something.
Oh, thank you, on Reddit. So yeah, so that was the video. Well, later in the week there was a second video where like the mantra had really, really come out that like how messed up, especially after the PlayStation, how messed up everything was at Xbox. So that dude from the first video, basically it was a video that was and like the title was like, that dude like apologizes for what's going on with like Microsoft, and it like explains, hey, we're gonna rethink some of our policies before the actual launch of the Xbone, and you know, we're gonna go through it. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe like public pressure is actually changing Microsoft. So I clicked on the video and it was a Rickroll. Which I was like, how is the Rickroll restarting? Like, first off, I thought that was dead. But it was like the best comments on Reddit where they were all like, you know what? I'm just taking the punishment because I deserve that. I bought into that so hard. I was so excited to watch that video. And, oh my gosh.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I love the internet.
Yeah. I know.
The good memes never die. You got to learn that.
That is a really good point. They find their natural balance is what they do. They get overused and then they just kind of, they find where they're meant.
Oh, that's funny.
It's like every once in a while, the Hypnotoad, like once a month, something will get voted to the front page of Reddit, and it's just the Hypnotoad. And you're like, how does this still all...
I don't even know what that is.
Okay. Oh, really? It's this like crazy... It's a gif of a frog. It's all psychedelic, and its eyes are going nuts, and it's a reference from the show Futurama. But it's basically like usually it's a picture, it's that gif, and it just says, you know, like vote this to the front page, all hail the Hypnotoad. That's it. And then every comment is always like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're doing this. This is just all hail the Hypnotoad, and like every comment is just like cut off with and ends with all hail the Hypnotoad, and it goes to the front page. You're just like, this is insane. How is this still going on? All hail the Hypnotoad. Okay, I get it. Yeah, you know, best memes never die. They just find their balance.
That's funny.
Yeah,
I don't hang out on Reddit enough. I gotta fix that.
Yeah. So I don't know, E3, and there were a bunch of games, dude. There were a bunch of games that come out, and I don't play any video games.
PlayStation or Xbox games that look good?
Star Wars Battlefront 3 looks pretty awesome. It was like a super short teaser trailer, but it looked pretty cool. What was the other one that I really... Mirror's Edge looks pretty awesome. I thought the original one looked good. This one looks pretty clean. And then the other one that I was really excited for was I'm going to have to play the first one first, but was not Uncharted, not Indigenous, was not undignified. What is it called? I said the name of the game earlier. Infamous. Infamous 2. Second Son. Which is pretty awesome and looks cool and looks fun. So I don't know. I might get into that, but we'll see. I'm a PC gamer, so a lot of times I get all excited about games. Yeah. Oh, and the Assassin's Creed expansion looks pretty cool. I like the idea of, you know, like the Assassin's Creed during
assassinating
the,
you know, people
like on the boats. It's like all about pirate ships now. Like, that's awesome. They figured out what people liked about that last game was the boats. So, very cool. Very cool. Cool E3, and like I said, I'm sure the shockwaves, the aftershocks of E3 will be felt for weeks and weeks and weeks to come.
Yeah. All right.